Welcome back to Eyes on the Future. This morning we're talking about creating positive work environments with Leadership Breakthroughs Lynn Desert, Mark Peterson of Greater Rochester Enterprise, and Carol McManus of Carol G. McManus Consulting. You can submit show ideas and questions by emailing info@rochesterbiz.com or by becoming a fan of the Eyes on the Future radio show Facebook page. So, Carol, are tensions in the workplace inevitable? And what are the most common causes?
Tensions in the workplace can range from things like petty inconveniences, nobody ever changes the toner in this copier, to all kinds of very small and what seems like nuisance kinds of issues. There are workplace tensions, I think, always in some form, a deadline, people working overtime, having to meet deadlines, issues with maybe a very demanding boss or a very need for absolute precision and so forth. Depending on the work, depending on the situation, there's going to be some kind of tension. You got to meet a customer over a counter and explain why those brakes really are fixed, even though they're making that sound. There's tensions somewhere in that workplace. Yes, I think they are inevitable, but the fact of understanding that from where that person's coming is not where you are, and trying to recognize that you can only help that person by maintaining a customer service attitude, how can I help you, or at least understanding that that person's either having a bad day, feeling really put down, having some kind of a meltdown, whatever. Don't own the problem. Try to de-escalate your own tension.
What about gossip in the workplace? Is there a place for it?
I think it's the nature of the beast. People see people getting on an elevator, getting off the elevator.
People talk.
It's human nature. And while it's something that, you know, you can always raise your eyebrows and say, hey, look, you really got to, you know, let it go. These two people, they're people, they're human beings. They have every right to do whatever it is they're doing. It's none of your business. It's going to happen.
Lynn, how destructive can gossip be, and how do you stop it if you have to?
Well, gossip can be very destructive. Just think about, one of the examples that Carol said, you know, two people getting off an elevator. I could make the assumption that, you know, something's going on there between the two of them, and I may not have the right facts. And when you start to spread those kinds of rumors or that gossip through an organization and you say it as fact, then all of a sudden, you know, what you've hurt individuals, you've hurt their credibility, and you hurt, the mission of the organization. So the way to stop it, and I've used this technique a number of times, is to, you know, ask the person who's kind of whispering in your ear and say, where'd you learn that? And if they don't know where it came from, chances are it may not be true.
Right. Gotcha. Mark, as GRE's leader, how do you handle rumors and chatter among coworkers? Do you just kind of turn a deaf ear, or when do you get involved?
No, you know, I think there's really two different kinds of gossip. There's gossip about what's happening at the firm and are we going to get raises and all this kind of stuff. I try to be very straightforward and transparent about that stuff. They know everything about where we are, what we're doing, what I'm losing sleep over, and those kinds of things. So that cuts down any, you know, crazy ideas people might have or think about. On a personal level, I try to respect an employee's right to tell me something in confidence that they don't want to share yet with the rest of the team, and let them choose the timing of when they're going to tell that. And that might be a medical situation, a change in marital status, I'm going to have a baby, whatever that is. And I've had all those circumstances in our team in the last couple of years. And I let those employees tell me in their own way. And if they said, I don't want to tell anybody else on the team, I respect that. And I think if you respect a person's right to that confidentiality until they're ready, unless it's something you really think, hey, you're not going to be able to, you're going to need to share this with other members of the team because of how we work together, help them to get there so that it doesn't become a gossip situation. Then I think you can keep everybody on the right page. If you respect one employee, another employee will see that and will know that you're going to respect them if they bring something to you, and that's very important.
Should the employer be the ultimate arbiter of all disputes, or is there another way?
Oh, I think there's lots of ways. And I don't think in my opinion, I don't think the employer is the arbiter or should be the arbiter of all disputes. I think you got to pick your shots. On occasion, there are times when you can take a look at two people who have brought a grievance into your office, and you clearly see there's just sort of a grudge thing going on, and ask them to, you know, go have a cup of coffee, work this thing out. There's something going on here between the two of you. And then there's a situation that I had where a woman really believed that I had a terrible feeling toward her because she had lost a child, and all of a sudden all the pictures of the child disappeared from her desk. And every time she saw me, she stiffened up. And when I finally brought her into my office and she began to cry, I said, what on earth is going on? And when she told me, I started to cry because I said, the thing that worries me the most is how you could have thought I could have thought that in the first place. Mm. So there really sometimes is a need to get involved, but oftentimes there's a need to let them go duke it out someplace else.
1180 WHAM, this is Eyes on the Future. We're going to take one final break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap this one up on 1180 WHAM. Thank you for spending a little time with us here.